Hello, I'm Austin, and this is going to be a solo episode of the Film Room, just a solo mini-sode. Albert did a number of these during the hiatus, and I figured I'd give myself a chance to get one in, because I got a movie that I really want to talk about, and if you've been following my Twitter feed lately, you know I've kind of been thinking about this film. So I thought it'd be a good idea to go on ahead and just give it a good full solo episode and lay out everything that I think about it. So these are my thoughts on Team America World Police. The reason I've been thinking about this movie in the first place is twofold. Number one, of course, is I'm doing my monthly column yearbook, which I hope y'all are reading. I'm putting a lot of effort into it, where I go back and look at the entire films of every film that came out in a given year and analyze it for trends and ideas and, you know, what were the big themes of the year. And there were some interesting ones in 2004, which is the year that I'm working on. And I started thinking about this movie because it's a movie that my opinion has evolved on greatly. And then I started thinking about another issue, and that is, why have I stopped being a fan of South Park? So to a great degree, this is going to kind of talk about my thoughts on South Park, to a very great degree. Let me just first of all state that you can't discuss anything that Trey Parker and Matt Stone do without discussing South Park. I was a huge South Park fan from 1997 when it started to roughly, let's just say, 2012, 2013, and that was about the age that I started to go, oh, this show is really full of itself. What really pushed me away was the entire arc about when it got about, oh, we're growing old, we're outgrowing this stuff, and everything is sounding like crap, and you start to realize, oh, that's Parker and Stone talking about the show. And they won't stop going. When the show basically told its own audience, hey, I don't care anymore, that was when I stopped caring. And I've watched it intermittently here and there. I've not been impressed with what I've seen from there on. I've actually been very deeply unimpressed with what I've seen. It has not impressed me in terms of its turn of, hey, let's make fun of political correctness. Even when the show does hit on some points that I think are valid, like the way the media will fall all over itself to praise famous people just, you know, because, oh, they're special. The whole Caitlyn Jenner thing, yeah, I'm fine with that. But that was something. That was an actual joke. By and large, I've just not been a fan of the show's recent tone. I think it's gotten angrier. I think it's gotten more cynical. I think it's gotten more unpleasant. And those things have always been there, is the thing. I think South Park has always had these issues, but it's never quite been as clear as it is now. But I think now you can really start to see that, okay, the entire idea of, hey, it's stupid to care. Everything is, like, because I know that was the thing that everybody loved about it was, oh, it makes fun of everything. So it's awesome because it's making fun of everything. See? You know, no, you have to stand for something. And Trey Parker and Matt Stone's refusal to stand for anything is just getting to a point where it's getting irritating. Especially now when we're in a moment where it's like, oh, politically you have to stand for something. I'm sorry. It's just, it's ridiculous. I'm not getting into my thoughts on the election, but come on, you have to stand for something. You have to have some opinion. This is just feeling juvenile, and I'm not saying you have to be on one side or the other. If you want to say that all are terrible, then that's fine, but don't stand by and awkwardly laugh. It's just getting silly. And that kind of brings me to my thoughts on this movie. When I saw this movie, one of my friends pointed this out, my friend Ryan pointed this out. I had given it a pretty positive review on the message board that I was on, and if you really want me to be perfectly blunt, why did I give it a good review? I laughed a couple of times when I was in the theater, and more importantly, you don't want to tell yourself that something that you were really looking forward to wasn't actually that good. I thought, it's Trey Parker, it's Matt Stone, it has to be good. I thought that. I thought, oh, well, you know, maybe I, because I didn't really like the South Park movie. And I know a lot of y'all love it. I really don't like the South Park movie. I really don't think it's all that good. I think it's kind of tired. I think the show cannot sustain itself for 90 minutes at all. I also think that the removing the restrictions of TV did not help the show, because it goes over the top. And that happens here. That happens in Team America big time. I don't think Trey Parker and Matt Stone are full-length filmmakers. I'm just going to be blunt. But there was kind of that self-delusion, the thing that people talk about when they talk about Episode 1. Which, by the way, I still love Episode 1. Just going to point that out. And I'm sorry, wait one second. Okay, but anyway, this movie definitely does have that same problem that Bigger, Longer, and Uncut had. But anyway, what I was saying is, yeah, this was kind of for me like what Episode 1 was for a lot of people, where it's like you just tell yourself, it couldn't have been that bad, and I think we all do that to a great degree. That's why I think opinions tend to fall quite a bit with time, is because you just tell yourself, no, you don't want to admit that the people that you like blew it, and they blew it pretty badly. This movie is, it's awful. Quick synopsis of the plot for those who haven't seen it. It's a puppet movie that makes fun of things like Thunderbirds and, you know, all that kind of puppet stuff. It's one of those movies. It is just, the story is so simple. It's a team of military, like a G.I. Joe, Thunderbirds type strike team, is forced to stop Kim Jong-il from some big grand plot. It's a stop the villains from taking over the world. It's a generic story. It is an unbelievably generic story. And man, do Parker and Stone have nothing new to say about this stuff. I was shocked when I was reading up on this movie in advance of doing this to find out that it was actually a passion project for them. I honestly believed just before I was doing this cast that because this script is so lazy and so bad, I honestly thought it was just something that they churned out. No, they spent two entire years working on the script. Now, the movie was in production right up until the last moment, but they really cared about this movie, and that actually makes me sad, because this story is so lame, and I know it's a comedy, stories aren't supposed to be the point, but it's the core of the satire here. So, you know, the premise is, of course, they have to bring, because they discover that there's a plot involving actors, they have to bring in an actor, and it's just this generic, silly story. It's nothing that you're unfamiliar with. He turns out to be a rebel who's really good at things, and it's basically Chosen One stuff. You know the story. Okay, you can get away with that. To a great degree, the Imagination Land story that would run on South Park a couple years later, in which they would wind up editing into a movie, is kind of the same thing. I love the Imagination Land arc. Honestly, I think that's the best sustained long-form story they've ever done. Imagination Land is great. It's also actually funny. It also is satirical, and it actually does have a point about fear and about how fear hurts our abilities to be optimistic. That's an actual story. That's actually funny. Oh my God, that's not what this is. What this is, by and large, is a lot of very lazy, very easy jokes. There's Michael Moore is fat jokes. There's Hollywood is so liberal jokes. And right then and there, there's a missed opportunity. Because I'm sorry, Hollywood is not that liberal. Hollywood is one of the most conservative places in terms of values. I went into this on my thoughts on Trainwreck. I'm sorry, Hollywood is extremely, extremely conservative. It just poses as liberal because it's, you know, those are the right things, and you don't want to be associated with guys like, you don't want to be associated with the right wing, so it's an image thing for them. No, they're not liberal. They're not liberal at all. I'm sorry. That's an actual joke they could have made. Again, with Michael Moore, you could have made a joke about how dishonest his filmmaking is, how much he's a propagandist, and I love Michael Moore. I'm actually quite a big fan of his. Fahrenheit 9/11 has aged like American cheese in a hot car, but everything else he's done I really love. He's done some really good stuff. I actually think Bowling for Columbine, as wildly inaccurate and as lie-filled as it is, and also as despicable as that ending is, Bowling for Columbine, I think, is really just holding up wonderfully. Again, those are some actual points you could have landed on more. But instead, fat jokes. None of the jokes that this movie makes about Hollywood are at all funny. Again, the movie tries to make fun of Michael Bay movies. I'm sorry, that's a tired subject for humor. And it kind of works in the moment, but it's nothing all that new. You're not really making any new points there. I actually think a bolder thing at this point would be to say that Michael Bay has done some good stuff. I love Pain and Gain. I think Pain and Gain is proof that he's an actual director. Hi, Lola. Yep, guest cast. But see, there's actual jokes. There's actual humor that could be made there. And this movie goes for the easiest jokes. And of course, much of this movie is about its vulgarity. Much of this movie is focused on its vulgarity. And I'm not a fan of just sheer being vulgar for vulgar sake. I like vulgar movies. There are a number that I really do love. Mel Brooks was a master at this. Mel Brooks was great at it. I think that to a certain degree, South Park itself is great at it at times. There are times that it works. Stand-up comedy. George Carlin was a genius at vulgarity. This movie never comes anywhere near guys like Carlin, though. It never comes anywhere near that. A lot of the, so much has been made of the fact that they had to go to the NC, to the ratings board, because they got NC-17 multiple times with it. Yeah, you were just, I'm sorry, that's actually a problem with the movie. Because this movie tries so hard to be so raunchy and to shock you, like, oh, see, you're seeing puppets doing things you shouldn't be seeing. Oh, it's a tired joke. And again, every now and then some of this stuff lands, but like the puppet sex scene, which was obviously the thing they wanted you to see this movie as being sold on, it's not that funny. I'm sorry, it's just not. It's like, oh, ha ha. I don't know. I do want to point out that there are a couple of funny things in this movie that actually do land. The movie's parody of Rent is hysterical. But Rent is actually something that you can make fun of. Rent is actually something that deserves it. Talking about that was funny. The musical bits in it are funny. The theme song of the movie is hysterical, and I do like it. And that's kind of what's funny, is South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut had the same situation. The music bits were funny. The full movie was not funny. I don't know why that is. I'm confused by that. Maybe it's because those are quick jokes. Though I should point out that just because the music is good doesn't mean that it can excuse the fact that at one point they lift the montage song from South Park and just reuse it straight. There's no alterations, there's no joke there. It's just, here's the montage song again. And you know what? In the context of the episode that song originated from, it's great. As it is here, it's just a little bit longer and it's just tired. As I said, that's why I really thought this movie was a rush job in terms of the writing. Because it felt like it. Finding out that this movie took 2 years to write is really... It's baffling to me. It suggests to me that Parker and Stone really needed something better to do with their time. I don't know. This is just, And what's interesting to point out is, I don't think this movie has exactly lasted in the public consciousness. Like, I know it was a rush production, and I think that's kind of about how long the movie lasted in the consciousness. People might know the theme song, but that's the only thing I hear people referencing. Nothing else about the movie gets referenced. You might get the ungodly racist Kim Jong-il song reference, which is just despicable. Ugh. And by the way, nothing with Kim Jong-il is funny. Guys, the Korean dictatorship is not funny. The Korean dictatorship is a horror story. So let's be clear. It's not funny. Quit joking about it. Quit laughing about it. It's not funny. I don't know. It hasn't lasted in the consciousness, and I think it hasn't lasted because it's not a movie that was built to last. I think Parker... So to spend 2 years writing something like that, by contrast, the same year you had Mean Girls, you had Dodgeball, you had the titan of them, Anchorman. Those are movies that lasted. Those are movies that have had a footprint in society. If you reference a plastic, everybody knows what you're talking about. I love those three movies. Those are funny. Those are good movies. This just has not had any footprint, and I think that's appropriate. And I think that's partially because it is so much of its moment. It's the third of three movies, that I think, of 2004 that are of their moment. The Passion of the Christ, Fahrenheit 9/11, and this. They were of a specific moment. They could have only happened in that moment. I still think The Passion is as problematic as it is, and I'm going to be getting into that when I get into my essay. I still think The Passion has at least some artful scenes. Fahrenheit 9/11 I enjoyed, but by the time it came to video, it already felt dated. I know, there was a specific climate in 2004 that produced this stuff, and no wonder this stuff hasn't lasted. No wonder it's been flash in the pan. It was a specific moment. I don't know. Yeah, I really don't like this movie, though, and that's kind of my point that I'm trying to make. And as I said, I'm really over Parker and Stone's entire... It's just a juvenile perspective. This is a perspective that... It's worth noting. I saw this movie my sophomore year of college. I think that's about the oldest you can be and find anything of value in this stuff. And I do wish Parker and Stone would understand this about South Park. We always praised South Park for its satire. Maybe we need to walk that back and understand that South Park was never actually all that good at satire. Like, I'm just going to throw this out there. South Park may not have ever been all that good at satire. If you go back and you watch the episodes where they were trying to be satirical, and you really examine them with a critical eye, most of what they're saying is garbage because they refuse to take a point, because they refuse to be committal. The South Park flag episode is a prime example. It's a great episode, and you remember it, but you remember it for the Wendy Cartman stuff. Nothing about how the show... If you really stop and examine Chef's storyline, it's disgusting, actually. I don't know, South Park, Parker and Stone were never that good at satire, and I'm just throwing that out there. And I wish they would understand that characters are their real strength. The best episodes of South Park are the character episodes, especially the Cartman and blank episodes. Like the Cartman and Butters episodes. Anytime you had a Cartman and Butters episode, it was glorious. I don't know. But those are my thoughts on that. My thought, obviously, is don't watch it. Don't see it. Find something better to do with your time. And I regret ever having been nice to it. So, yeah.